The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Hey, listen.
The poison gas is creeping in. You gotta shoot and kill to win. It's your call to duty. Your call to duty. Electric guitar riff, sniper shot. People lose their lives. Their souls go wherever. We don't know for sure. Sniper shot. Welcome to One Upsmanship. Michael Swaim. He's Adam Ganser. We're talking about Call of Duty, clearly.
No, I'm thoroughly impressed is what I am. I didn't know we were going to do a musical intro to Warzone, but sure. Why not?
Improvising song lyrics. The last refuge of the comedian who has no good ideas.
We are a zero-bit video game podcast, that's for sure.
Let's keep that going as long as we can. Yeah, we're bitless.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah, that's for sure. So, I forced you to cover this, Michael Swaim, and do you want to know why I forced you? Are you interested in knowing why? Or when I say forced, I asked, and you reluctantly acquiesced. I think that's fair characterization, don't you?
I thought it was because we were friends and you wanted to play with me.
That is part of it. That is part of it. But the reason is that I have a bunch of people who I know and play video games with. Everybody who's not, like, a real gamer, they all want to play this game exclusively. Like, I have 10 friends who, like, if I play games with them, it's only this game.
And are you the decider of who's a real gamer or not, Adam? Is that your gate to keep?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. I was wondering who that dude was. Okay, great.
It's all coming through me. I spent a lot of time checking boxes.
So filthy casuals that you know will still be into this. More than Fortnite? More than Overwatch? Than Apex?
Yeah. Yes, and I want to talk about why. Because also surprises me that this game seems to, from my, you know, very specific vantage point, feel like the casual version of those two properties. Mm-hmm. You know, like casuals feel invited to this version and not as much to Fortnite and stuff. So it's worth talking about.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I know what I disagree with. Great. Okay, great. Makes me excited.
I knew we'd find it. Yeah.
So let's jump into a checkpoint. Let's pass a checkpoint and jump into speedrun, which means Call of Duty.
You got in the gulag.
You
got thrown in the gulag, and then you had to a one-on-one combat where you shoot a man to death to get back in the game.
To the right to kill more. Yeah, I was gonna say we overturned death itself with our big strong money. Like, nah, Death, he ain't dead. Here's $1,000. Yeah, give him back.
Purchasing him back. Curling him from the skies like Mount Olympus.
See, rather than the gulag, I think you should have to play chess with Death, and it's a really hard AI, and you have to beat it at chess.
Yeah.
Quick game of chess in between rounds for Call of Duty Warzone, which is what we're talking about. Back on track. This is the speed run. Who's going to take it? Should I take it as the
I think it's much funnier novice? If you take it. I think it's much funnier. All right. Yeah.
So someone's got to do what someone's got to do.
I will do the thing that I normally do, which is not allow you to say the following words. Start the clock.
Great. Call of Duty Warzone is an interesting installment in the storied Call of Duty franchise. Possibly, I'm not looking this up, but one of the best-selling franchises or IPs in all of video game history. Basically, they release one, if not two, every year. And kind of like the seasons, it's a good way to check in and see what trends are in gaming. Because it's your dominant, basic first-person shooter. And this, indeed, is a first-person shooter. But what's interesting about Warzone, and as is implied by the sobriquet Warzone, is that this is a response in many ways to a new trend in gaming, and I'm really breaking this down for casuals, called the Battle Royale genre, which is so named after a good movie called Battle Royale, which you might recognize as carried through in things like Hunger Games and other shit like that, Harry Potter number 4, where you, to a lesser degree, it was a death, that one was a death contest. Anyway, you pit people together on one map, video game map, and you make the map smaller and smaller, and there's variations, but generally the map gets smaller and smaller, and it's last team or last man or person standing wins. You're all trying to kill each other, and of course, there's different systems. Generally, there's some kind of building system that makes it more than just in a standard Call of Duty or any FPS. You run into the room, you kill everyone, you run into the room, you get some more story, you kill everyone. In this, it's more like there is no story because this would never happen. It's just we all accept this is a video game, and we're just playing a round of this. And what it is we're all scattered on this giant map, and we build or try and get items or collect money so you can go to a buy station to buy items, and you slowly can get more armor, better guns, whatever. At the same time, it's a huge game of hide and seek, because if you see anyone, they're going to shoot at you, or you're going to run, or you're going to shoot them, or you're both going to see each other and go, oh, fuck, I don't have any armor, and run separate ways. Like, whatever. Whoever wins is whoever survives the longest. That's the game. End of speedrun.
Pretty good. I thought you did great. You know, I'm not sure how Sonic feels about it, but you did pretty great.
It was scattered, but if you don't know what Call of Duty is at all,
I mean, how are you
weird.
Here? Yeah, how are you here?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand how that happened. Yeah, so how about we pass our next checkpoint, which means, you know, we got a bounty, and that gave us money, and we're going to buy self-revives, because, my God, this is deadly out here.
It's rough in these Warzone streets.
Very much. It really can
no
be.
No one really, yeah.
Nobody survives.
Have you ever won one?
Yes, I have. I've won
there
about 10.
It's hot damn.
Very, well, dude, I've played this game, I think, a lot more than you have, probably.
Right, sure.
So, you
have a right to talk about it. You've at least, you know, I love, or like you talk to when Fall Guys was in the zeitgeist, you'd be like, and have you ever won anyone ever? And people are like, nope, not yet. I've only played 15,000 matches. So,
these
games where it's like 400 people enter, one person leaves, they're rough, they're brutal. And yet I imagine, because I've never won one, what a special boy you must feel like when you finally win one of these goddamn things.
Really good. Like, it gets very tense at the end. Anyway, so I we're going to pass that checkpoint, and we're going to do our rants. And I'll go first if that suits
Great.
You. So player one, Adam Ganser, logging in. So Call of Duty Warzone is a transparent IP theft that honestly we should be bummed about. Like, we should be bummed that Call of Duty is allowed to do this. Because even though I think copyright law permits this kind of stuff, it just kind of feels like a bummer to me that games like, PUBG and Fortnite and stuff that had kind of an original concept are basically getting slowly eaten alive by the big boys. Like, that's just a bummer metaphor, and I think it deserves to be decried, so I'm doing that. That said, I think the Call of Duty formula is used well here. I think it feels good. Like, it's a good mix of game and reality for what is a very silly premise. I know that that's true because Call of Duty very carefully markets to people who don't play games otherwise. And so they play this. I mean, you know, it's free to play, which is another interesting move. And I feel like a move that a lot of big games that are sort of perpetual, eternal games are doing now. And this is one of the more clearly strategic versions of that, because they've also looped every single Call of Duty into this massive war hub, one that you may say was predicted by this very podcast.
Simpsons predicted it.
We did. We did a Call of Duty episode on World War II, and we were complaining that they should just make a war hub. And hey, that's kind of what they're doing now. It's not exactly the idea that we want, but they're kind of looping all the games together so that you basically have to install an entire hard drive's worth of Call of Duty.
I think the important thing that we predicted that did come to pass is we predicted that they would take it to the next step of meta and mm-hmm. stop caring and mm-hmm. just be like, look, it's a shooting video game.
That's what
it is. Stop caring what the story is.
Correct.
We'll just release different iterations of it. Got it?
Now,
everyone playing knows that, and they have. We've passed that threshold.
Yeah, this is Space Jam 2, the video game, Call of Duty version. You know, like, that's what it is.
In terms of how open the system is. Yeah. They're like, you know what we're doing? Yeah. We're doing a Call of Duty. Here we go.
I find it incredible that they continue to, and I know this is a rant, but I find it incredible that they continue to bother us with cutscenes and like story mechanics for this game, which they do.
Mm-hmm.
Every season they're like, you know, in this season you're the guy with the whited out eye who's like a spy from Russia, and you're like, how? No, I'm not. Yeah. Fuck you.
Okay.
I'm just a guy trying to get an orange gun. Get the hell out of here, man. Some people super care though, so that's the thing. I play this with casual friends. They deeply care about that story stuff, which confounds me. And like, it hooks into this entire thing about video games that Mike and I don't care that much about, which is competitiveness. Like, Warzone is designed to, like, squirt adrenaline directly into that, like, competitive thing. And, like, they do little things that are amazing and terrible to enhance that, such as you're playing a match, right? And you kill somebody, then they open their microphone from that person that you just killed so you can hear what they say just after you killed them, which leads to all kinds of, like, I've made many 12-year-olds scream in pain, and then I've been called every ethnic slur possible by people who are aware of this mechanic, you know? And it's amazing because, like, that's such a terrible thing to do, and yet it does sort of, like, it scratch that itch in your brain, like, yeah, I got him. I got that kid. You know, like, it really, like, it really makes you feel like, yes, I slaughtered this child, which is horrible, man. What are we doing here? That's my rant.
It'd be like if your car automatically flipped people off who cut you off. You have no say in it. It's just that's how cars interact.
Right,
it's like,
right.
They just want you to get in a fight. They want you to get
in
a fight. That's the thing.
They're just forcing us into it. Like, they're shoving us slowly into it. Yeah.
As we referenced, the rounds in between rounds are you like, you two go in a gulag, fight to the death. So yeah, it's about as macho and fighty as it can be.
100%.
Player two logging in, because I guess we log in now. I thought we plugged in. I thought this was a retro podcast with a respect for the roots of gaming. But you said logging in, so let's embrace that reality, because I'm a good improv partner, Adam. That's what I am.
Thank you for yes-anding my construct.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Reset it. Sorry. I got 2FA'd. I got to reset this through my phone. Fuck. I got to load the Authy app. Okay, I'm logged in. Okay, player two logged in. Here's my rant. I didn't play this very much. I played this so little that if I did this in the capacity with which I work with IGN and, like, reviewed this game, commenters would rightly say, this motherfucker didn't even play this game. Or, like, I'm at the line where I feel weird covering it until I remind myself that this is not a review show. This is an ongoing dialogue between two friends who are deeply invested in every component of game design, including, but not limited to storytelling, but also like pure game design, innovation, and the entire delicious multi-layered thing that is gaming, what it can provide and how it's moving forward and what the trends and things that we just witness from it are. And I have a lot to say about Battle Royale as a genre.
Totally.
And you brought up, I think they should all really be mentioned, PlayerUnknown's Battleground, Fortnite, Apex Legends, Overwatch, games like this. Overwatch, there's Venn diagram aspect where it's not exactly the same, but you know, they borrow from each other. And I think what I want to say with my rant is that this game's super inaccessible for something that claims to be open to casuals, which I think is interesting. The actual thing itself, as in this is what you do, you get here and the poison gas is closing and you shoot each other, super accessible. It feels like the roots of from which FPS gaming has grown. Like, that is what an FPS is. I know the controls so intuitively. It's just, you know, O to duck, hold O to go pro, like all that shit. It feels like Call of Duty invented the way we control moving in FPS space. But
yep.
They try to, and I understand how this evolved too, but it's interesting to me that something that the reason it exists is to capture the dollar of people who don't always game. To keep their dollar, they add what also feels like it's compulsive, and I think this is a bad trend in gaming. Every game of every genre wants to have RPG elements, and they're taking a game other than like Rocket League, which very smartly has limited aesthetic RPG elements, meaning things you unlock. The RPG genre, of all the things it gave us that are so beautiful, one thing it gave us, you know, like the inventory system as a concept, but like one thing it gave us is you unlock powers as you go more and more, and you get points, and you use those points to buy more, doing more. And that is now woven into almost every game genre, does that, to the point where you don't even think of it as an RPG thing, right? Like Metroid Dread just came out. You do that. Metroidvania took that. Metroidvanias have RPG elements. So I found this game almost indecipherable because I logged in and it was like, yo, what season pass you got, bro? Oh, do you have part three of that season pass? Because you got to decide which operator you want to be, because only their loadout accepts silver dollar points or like whatever the fuck. There were so many, like, do you want a pumpkin head? And I'm like, I don't understand. What is that in reference to? And they're like, well, you're season one, season four. So do you want a pumpkin head? And I'm like, I don't, what? And they're like, your operator, man, your operator wants a pumpkin head or not. And I'm like, okay, give me a pumpkin head. And they're like, you don't have faction points for that. Why are you bothering me? I'm like, I don't know. And then when my friend Adam logged on and was like, look, just press this and press this. And then it teleported me to a world map and I was in the game. I'm like, oh, this is what we're doing. Got it. But I do think that's an important thing because it so flies in the face of what this game is trying to be, which is accessible. I think that's fascinating. And yet I see how it's developed, because they want to keep you going through something that is admittedly repetitive. Everyone knows it's repetitive. You're not going to win every time. So how do you keep playing when you lose 10 times in a row and it's not fun? What makes it stay somewhat fun so you keep going? So I think it's interesting what they've done with that, and I think it says a lot about human nature and the nature of addiction. That's my rant.
Excellent rant. I think you and I are going to agree a lot on this game. Honestly,
it feels like a soapbox episode where we just have stuff to say.
Yeah, but what's fun about
it's real Jason Parjan.
What's fun about this game to me, since we're passing that checkpoint anyway.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Is that it's sort of like it launches off into almost every major direction that shooters are going in. Like it's kind of it's trying to be literally everything. You know what I mean? Like you said, it's
all thanks to all people.
Yeah, it really is. Like it's the Marvel, Disney, ESPN, Hulu of games now for sure. Where it's like, okay, so there's an RPG piece for you up top, and that's all like your intro HUD stuff. And yeah, man, if there's a more convoluted HUD that isn't like for World of Warcraft or some shit like that, I have yet to see it. It's really complicated for, especially for consoles.
Evolution's the only one that comes to mind because we did an episode at Cracked about it. That was one ridiculous HUD. But
The in-game menus were like, what the fuck is this? But like, I'm talking about just to like get in a match or like party up with friends. It's not intuitive. You need to, like, you're gonna dick around with it for 20 minutes before you figure all that out. You know, like it's tricky. Now it's super customizable, I think, to make the PC mob happy. You know, because like those are the people you kind of want in this game because they make it more competitive. So they want customizability, and so it's in there. But then, like, as you said, it's going to shove the store in your face all the time. Like, I can't tell you how many people are the dude or the puppet from Saw. You know what I mean? Like, I get killed by the puppet from Saw twice a week at least. And I'm like, dude, really?
Oh, and Fortnite is actually, we're talking about this on an upcoming podcast with my scientist friend Griffin, but Fortnite is pushing the frontier of, like, some metaverse technologies in the sense of hosting. Now, this is another Battle Royale game, if you're not familiar, another very popular game that's this system where you're all dropped on an island and kill each other. And they host these massive things where like 10,000 people watch a concert together in Fortnite, which is something that the metaverse wants to go in that direction or have us do. And they have to sort of invent new technologies and new ways to do that. It's the Battle Royale genre, because it's where all the money is and all the young money is. It's where all the young players are. It's interesting what goes along with that, because what goes along with that is these games know that they're on the forefront. They feel like they have to innovate and take swings to justify their position.
Right.
They're also making money hand over fist, and they have to do something with it and like evolve. Like, well, what are you doing next season? This train's got to keep running. What are you doing next season? And it makes for some very interesting and labyrinthine game design that you never see in a game that's like, you know, you play The Last of Us 1, you wait 10 years, you get The Last of Us 2. These are not like that. This is an ongoing concern. It's a sports league as well. You know, like, this is a thing. This is a living, breathing negotiation, right, often with the players. They want to have their finger on the pulse of, oh, players aren't liking this gun, we got to change it. Okay, we'll change it in next season.
That's fun.
Very interesting artistic ecosystem.
Now that piece, I think, is a fun thing that's happening in gaming now that didn't really exist 20 years ago, which is like developers and players having ongoing consistent conversations and like sort of point counterpointing each other. Like that didn't, like, if it was happening 20 years ago, it was happening on a much more limited scale. But now games like this and like Destiny and like you know, all Fortnite and like all those games, like, no, you know, your plasma rifles are too hot, man. You got to chill them out, right? Oh no, pistols are too powerful. You got to, you know, bump them up or whatever.
Yeah.
And like the designers are forced to at intervals basically respond to that. Like that's interesting, because that didn't exist when we were kids, you know, at all.
But I do think there's a toxic side to that.
Oh, like, of course there is.
I don't know where you land on the Snyder Cut or whatever, but, or like a recent example, Scorn, a game that I'm very much looking forward to because it's based on the art of an artist who I really admire. But I got to be honest, the gameplay they've shown off, it looks like there's nothing to do. It looks like a beautiful walk around simulator. And they just announced a major delay and everyone was like, what's up, man? And his response was like, look, we're designing a game. It takes a long time. Like, fuck off. And I actually found his response pretty reasonable in terms of, you're allowed to be a little crotchety. And he didn't say fuck off. I'm adding that.
Right.
He basically just said, they were like, what have you been doing? Why the delay? And he's like, we've been working on the game. Don't worry. We're working on it. It'll be done when it's done. And we've been working on it. And they're like, well, why the delay? And he responded like, because we have to delay. So I thought I'd tell you about it. You know, like he was basically just passive aggressive, minimally. And there was so much fucking butthurt bullshit from the gaming community that he had to come out and do this statement, you know, to not get canceled. Like, we profoundly apologize to everyone emotionally impacted by the delay. And it's like, no, you were allowed to say that.
Yeah, you're right about that.
You can be a professional adult. Fuck these people. Like, well, I hate when the whiny fans have a cudgel of money that they just make artists bend over backwards to please them. It's annoying.
And
to
that's,
me.
I mean, that's funny, but it's also like, that's the exact thing we would argue is a good thing in different quadrants of the, of
most
the capitalist
of the time
thing.
I'm pro it.
Well,
that's true.
But we would, right? Like we're using the same cudgel to like, you know, ask movie executives to fire people when they don't behave correctly in movies
or like,
and stuff.
Yeah, don't shield sexual assault perpetrators.
Yeah, it's the same
we
cudgel.
We use the same cudgel. That's true.
And I'm not, like, so I think that
wrong again, Swaim.
Well, no, it's not that you're wrong. It's that, like, well, I don't always like the way the cudgel lands. You know, like, I have an exact same story. Luke Smith from Destiny, right? He's, like, one of the big designers behind Destiny. He said, hey, we're going to make something so cool, you'll literally throw your money at the TV screen. That was like a quote, right? Mm-hmm. And they were really mad about how flippant he was about their money, and he had to come out and apologize for it. It's like, dude, he's hyping the game.
What? That's a fine
thing to
say.
He's hyping the game. Like,
it's
yeah,
whatever.
This guy's a game designer, not president of the United States. Like, right, what are we? Yeah. Like, he doesn't need to please all of you.
Or navigate language in a way that's perfectly elegant and, you
know, I mean,
doesn't offend. It's fine if a game designer's a prick even to me. Who cares? They're designing a video game.
See, and that's where I kind of wish, like, well, so I don't want to be 100 years old. I want to be sympathetic to the consumer of our time and appreciate that consumer cudgels allow us to, at the very least, not be totally dicked over by game designers who would not give a shit about us if it wasn't for our money. Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at you, PlayStation 5 release. You know, so I think that, like, it's good that exists, but I also think there used to be more of a sense of, like, proportion with how those kinds of things need to be treated, and we all kind of agreed, like, fans are allowed to grumble, but, like, the company's allowed to just sort of walk away. And now they're kind of not allowed to walk away over remarks like that that ultimately don't really matter.
It's something of a gamble, but sometimes you'll see, like with Chappelle, right?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
You never know.
I don't know.
Like, Chappelle can plow ahead and still make all the money and get the views. And it's because, you know, there's enough reactive people on the other side who think he's a champion of the shit that they believe. So it's a gamble, though, because, like, if you're going against the fans and there's a massive fan base, yes, I feel like IPs used to have more power to go, fuck you,
you're going to buy Batman shit,
and you know it. Whereas now they're like, all right, well, you either kowtow to the fans or you go, well, we're going to stick to our guns, but it might hurt us. Like, oh, here we go. It's scarier.
Well, and it's
scarier to stick to your creative guns.
Like, literally, there's no code. Like, there's just cost-benefit analysis, and that becomes more transparent for every company every day.
Right.
And, like, again, you brought up Dave Chappelle. Well, I kind of don't like what Dave Chappelle's, like, repping these days. I don't think he needs to be repping any of that. But also,
no, I agree. I'm just saying there's people who, like,
and I think that it's a
I agree. There's a lot of people outraged. A lot of us, including myself, want to use the money cudgel. Like, I don't now. I'm not going to support Dave Chappelle financially in any way.
Yeah,
he'll still make all the money. It's not enough to get. He's not canceled, despite what.
And that's tough.
People would say. You know what I mean?
That's tough because that's the outworking of this system where we pay for entertainment, but we also want our vote to be special and unique. And it's like, well,
that's what I think's so interesting about the Chappelle thing is Netflix also put out the Hannah Gadsby special.
Right. I mean,
which is Chappelle, and then Chappelle went on to say, you know, I'll come to the table to talk trans rights if you'll admit Hannah Gadsby isn't funny. So Netflix literally has no ideology, right?
No, of course
it's
they
whatever
don't.
Special.
No, of course they don't.
Works well that month. And of course they don't. And I'm just saying Call of Duty Warzone also brings this to light.
It's the most.
And it might be uncomfortable.
That, yeah.
But we are living in a postmodern consumer society where everyone knows. So we may as well just know.
Well, so here's what's interesting about that. It related to Call of Duty specifically. So like this game, in theory, has a problem with hackers. It has a problem with them. Meaning like people who, you know, manipulate the game so that they can win and they cheat, right? Like through a series of things. And Activision's pretty reluctant to crack down on it. Why? Because they don't want to piss off their entire game base and they know you're going to keep playing. So like they don't feel like they have to listen to that. And that's literally affecting their game negatively. You know? Like that's how amoral or sort of like divorced from principles these companies can get. They know you're going to keep playing, so that complaint doesn't matter. And it's literally fucking breaking their game. It's like, that's insane, right? it's completely insane. Yeah, I mean, thank you for bringing up that issue. I think that's really interesting and fun. So let me ask you this question. Do you like this sort of like hunt for weapons, try to survive format for first-person shooters? Is that fun to you?
Oy, this is a big question that I probably knew was should have known was coming. it's been a couple years since I logged on to Destiny, but Destiny 2 is the last time I really had a lot of fun with an FPS, and the genre felt vital and engaging to me. As you know, if you heard our World War II episode, I think that Call of Duty as a franchise is beyond corporatized to the point that it's like cyclically regurgitating itself. And I hate that. That's just not my cup of tea.
I agree with that.
So I have a strong, like I went in with like, and this of course coming in the wake of PUBG and Fortnite. So being obviously like, let's take our huge brand and try the thing that kids like now. I hope it's huge for us this quarter. And it's like, well, I see what you're doing there. So it's really hard for me to come at it with unbiased eyes, but yeah, it's pretty fun. I'm playing through Dark Souls now, so we can cover Dark Souls, but
yeah,
that kind of adrenaline rush, finally beating a really tough boss, I get the appeal a little, but not as much as people who really get off on that. It just doesn't get me for whatever biophysical reason. And I really don't get it from winning competitively. In fact, I feel maybe because of my Montessori education, but if I'm in a competitive context with 100 people and I win, I'm most likely to feel guilty. Like, who am I to win? Why did it have to be that someone wins, or what about all the people who lost? Why is it this way? This sucks. It makes me think that life is the way I don't want it to be, which is a zero-sum game where you have to scrabble to survive, which it may well be, but I don't like thinking of it that way.
I don't like that, right? Let me ask you this question.
I don't like that about it.
You kill somebody on the battlefield in one of these games, and then the mic comes on and you hear them go, "Oh no!" Do you experience any pleasure in that moment?
I have an extremely visceral reaction to anyone being mad at me. So I would be like, fuck, that person's mad at me. They hate me. I'm a piece of shit. Fuck.
Okay.
That's my honest reaction to
that.
That's
amazing.
Especially if someone yelled a racial slur at me, I would be like devastated and feel weird for the rest of the...
Okay.
Be like, I would flush with embarrassment and turn the system off in a rush.
You know how I've said
is entirely believable.
You know how I've said at times, I wish I could like portal into your brain to have your Montessori experience. I wish you could portal into my brain and have my football
to enjoy joy of competing with someone.
My football experience, specifically playing football. Because I think we sort of share, like, I don't take pleasure in other people's pain, even though I play that part on Small Beans from time to time.
No, I think I'm missing out on something that's a source of joy. I think healthy competitiveness is good. I think I'm weird about it.
Yeah. I mean, like, it was football that kind of, like, got that juice of, like, I want to hit somebody in a sanctioned, you know, way. that didn't, I didn't really have it until then. And now I have like just the lingering embers of it where like when I shoot somebody and they're upset that they died, that gives me a smile. I don't know why. I genuinely enjoy that, you know, like, ah, damn it. That makes me laugh. I like it.
I think there's a, I think well, and I don't mean to judge you, dude,
at all. No,
I hope
good.
You don't take this way. But I think schadenfreude is like the worst impulse. It's almost sinful to me. I feel like it's destroying everything good in the type of people who I think the worst type of person you could be. And I don't understand people who want to be that person is the person online who goes like, says something, says horrible, hateful shit until you get mad and then goes,
yeah,
I made you mad.
Yeah.
Oh, you're mad? Oh, look who's mad. I'm like, yeah, it's good to care about things you care about. Or what is your problem? Like, literally, what the fuck is wrong with you?
That is
making
sickness.
Someone mad is not winning the argument. I hate that.
That is a sickness.
And I equate that with someone who like scores a point in a game and then goes, oh, boom. I go, oh, you're taking pleasure in pain. That's bad. We're not supposed to do that. And then I think, I'm being a wuss. It's fine. Or like, I see Soren. Soren will be competitive and go boom in your face. And everyone has a good time. And I'm the only one who feels weird. And I'll be like, why is that? It's something about me. So I don't know.
But Soren is excellent at one of the key ingredients to how this really works.
He's a graceful winner.
Yes. Soren is excellent at knowing the amount of self-celebration that is considered fun and like civilly acceptable and never transgressing that. Right. So like, for instance, you and I were in a fantasy football league, right? Like, we were in a fantasy football league, and I think it took you like 8 weeks to enjoy it, right? Like, it took you a pretty long time to enjoy it. And I was like constantly feeding you sort of like this, this machoed out horse shit every week about like, yeah, you got to get them, right? And like, did you ever get on my side of the street with that? Did that ever come through for you? Because that's, to me, the essence of FPS.
I eventually equated it to the one touch point from my childhood that does make sense to me, which is backyard wrestling.
Yeah.
Where
me
and three friends would stage choreographed wrestling matches where we do dangerous backyard stunts like jumping off shit onto other shit or whatever. And we would say like, you know, I'm better than you macho shit. Like, oh, I, you know, whatever. We would talk trash, I guess, is what someone human would say. But that was the one space where I was like, oh, it's sanctioned because we're all pretending like the wrestlers pretend. It's almost like being in a play. I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm supposed to talk shit.
Right.
That's the only. So in the, I eventually went, that's what clicked for me when we were doing fantasy football. I was like, is Greg going to be okay? Because everyone's backing on Greg. And there was a lot of shit talk. And I was like, why? So this thing's ruining our friend circle? Is our friend circle going to dissolve after this? And then slowly I was like, oh, it's like backyard wrestling. We're all just doing
and
this.
And we're
okay.
Loving. Actually, we're enjoying it. Like, it's actually bringing us together, not the opposite.
Right.
It's a weird thing, man. I completely understand your misgivings about it because you're not having a friendly experience on this game with, like, the people you're playing against. Like, it's definitely...
Well, it's literally a simulator, the gulag part of putting you in a jar and fighting brutally to the death.
The gulag is a perfect metaphor for what all...
For what the game is.
Yeah, for what it is. Right. Right, it's perfect that way. And, you know, it's frustrating, and most of the murders are because you got the jump on them. Like, that's how it is, you know? It's not really a game of skill so much. Although there are people who are incredible at this. I don't want to take that away from them.
We can talk about how the mechanics are as an FPS, but like, it feels like every modern Call of Duty game, which is to say pretty flawless. I mean, they have all the money and they know how to do it. So
I think I think it's great that Call of Duty took this format on, independent of my frustration about their stealing IPs. Because I mean,
it's not like Fortnite is hurting, dude.
I also don't care about Fortnite enough to be like, poor Fortnite. I don't care.
Poor PUBG a little.
I mean, a little bit. Like,
it's a brilliant idea. They should be richer than they are.
You know,
sure.
Also Apex Legends, I'm kind of bummed about Apex Legends because I really like Titanfall and I'm not sure we're going to get anymore.
I got to say, you know what I like about Apex Legends is the way, I mean, they have the RPG elements to some degree, but the other way they gamify is with these amazing and with some really real talent behind them, like some amazing writers who I'm like, really? Like when you find out Tom Stoppard wrote The Bourne Supremacy or whatever, amazing writers and directors of film doing these short films that they'll release as a major, like, get to know this character. And this is not the first time, like Team Fortress Classic did this back in the day, but they do it so well, almost the quality of the shorts you would see before a Pixar movie,
yeah,
to flesh out the lore. Yeah. And it's really cool. Overwatch does this too. But I love that way of gamifying and keeping people invested in the lore and in the world, even though it's a by nature a cycle. Much less into the Call of Duty, just like there's 45 widgets you can buy if you play.
Well, so,
or if you keep playing, you can unlock all these widgets. Please keep playing.
I don't know. I don't know what it is about Call of Duty, because they are doing the cutscene thing, like what you're describing, and like
they do.
But like, yeah, it's stupider. Like, it's definitely dumber. Like, and it's also really hinged around the Cold War franchise in particular, like the Black Ops franchise, mm-hmm, which I do want to talk about on this podcast at some point, because I went back and played the first one, and I think that it's pretty clear that Black Ops is like the only other story in Call of Duty that's going to matter from that franchise, like that one and maybe Modern Warfare. Those are the two.
It's the only one they're loyal to. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it matters. Like, it's part of their.
We are never continuing Jon Snow in Space's story.
No, that's over. That's, yeah, for sure. We're done with that. So, but Black Ops seems to matter in a legacy way. And but like, I just can't care about it once it asks me to be anything other than your average soldier in battle. Like, that's, I think Call of Duty is actually one of the only games where it's like, I don't want story out of this. I want the visceral gamified experience of doing this, because that's what you're providing me.
I want the feeling of historical milieu, yeah, and vermicitude.
That's all I want.
Whatever.
And like, yeah, the funny, I say that, and yet for whatever reason, I've never had, except for Battlefield 1, Battlefield, I feel, is trying to give us that more authentically and not succeeding as much. And I don't know what's wrong with their like particular little formula that's not triggering my brain. It might just be brand recognition at this point. I don't know. Because I think that Battlefield has abandoned the idea of like, oh, we're going to tell you this Tom Clancy narrative that Call of Duty seems committed to. And it's just like, hey, this is stories from World War One. Hey, this is stories from World War Two. And right, which is what we say we want, and yet it doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't click. I'm not sure what the problem is. We should do a podcast about that, I guess. Right? Have you played any of those? Well, have you played any of those games?
All of them, but I would replay them if you wanted to cover them for this, because it's been so
fair
long.
Enough. Anyway, yeah, the last thing I want to say about, I mean, we haven't talked that much about Warzone, but I think that having to play with a friend in a co-op capacity changes in, right, a good way, yeah, the multiplayer formula.
I agree completely. I actually, yeah, was about to bring that up.
Yeah.
It made me way less scared, and it does make it infinitely more accessible to people who are averse to the competitive nature of stuff like this. That I found out, like, I logged in and Adam was like, no, you play with me. Like, by default, we will be paired together. That is the nature of the game. It's teams. I'm like, well, that's great. I immediately felt all my hesitation wash away and was like, oh, I can get into this. Now, if you had said something I did not know, you know, when you kill people, they can, they have a brief window where they can yell slurs at you. I would have said, I'm not playing this.
Well, but, that's actually a recent addition. Yeah. Like, they didn't do it a year ago. It's like a recent thing.
And the kill, Mike.
It's,
yeah,
really shocking.
Words of the dead.
It's really shocking to me that they do that. Because it clearly makes the environment more toxic. Like, clearly.
Yeah, toxic and hostile.
And yet I've,
yeah,
tried to be honest about making somebody really, like, hearing somebody being bummed out by being killed is very satisfying. So,
yes,
I don't
as
know.
Long as they don't seem unhinged, or it seems like they're taking it in the normal way where they're like, oh, but if someone's like, I'll fucking find you, man. You know, that's... It's a different, it's a horse of a different
although
color.
Although I would enjoy that. That would make me laugh.
You would enjoy that too?
That would make me laugh.
I hate rage being directed at
I don't
for
like
any reason.
The stuff that feels like it's out of high school, that it's just saying like cuss words or especially, yeah, racist stuff, to take something away from you. Like, that's like, no, man, mm-hmm, just lose. You know, like, just don't yeah, be an asshole. Just lose. You lost. It's all good. You know, we're going to come back in like 10 minutes. Because that's the other thing,
right,
is this game's so good at, like, are you done? Hey, man, we're on to the next one already. Like, you don't even have to watch the rest of this game play out. No, fuck this game. You're done with it. Let's go on to the next one, right?
Right.
It's awesome like that. It's just like, here, we're going to keep you playing all the time. And that's awesome for players. You know, it has bad load times, but like it's pretty good at like keeping you engaged, I would say. Did you agree with that?
Felt engaged the whole time. I have a rough time with things that are that cyclical in nature. The games that are like measured in rounds always seem to... I have a high need for novelty, which is not even to say that I actually think that's good or true. You know, like, I don't know that being novel is necessarily the ultimate, you know, qualifier of art's value, but it really tickles my fancy when something is novel to me, or innovative to me in a way where I'm like, you don't see that every day. And so it's by its very nature, these games that are in rounds like Rocket League, like even Mario Strikers, when Abe was so into Mario Strikers, yeah. I really wanted to be that into it too.
But you weren't, yeah.
To share that with him. And I would always fall off because I'm like, one round, same as the next.
Right.
Like minor, very, that's my problem with sports itself. I want to like watching football with my friends because it would be another thing we could do together, but I can't. I can't like things that the details of which are basically just jumbled around and then it's the same again. It's the problem with Star Wars, all sports. I like playing sports, but not watching sports.
I mean, even though yeah. you as a writer understand the cyclical, repetitive nature of screenplays.
And the idea of novelty is an illusion because it just means it's the first time I've encountered that thought.
Right.
There's no
right.
way that that thought hasn't been thought before. Do you know how many fucking brains have existed thinking shit? Everything's been thought of before. With very, very rare exceptions of things that like they can't have been thought of because it just got invented. That's why we take such notice of these things. Like the theory of general relativity,
mm-hmm.
you know? That was something someone thought of, and it was so important that no one had thought of it before that we're like, we're going to name that and remember it. But usually, everything you think of, someone's thought of it,
and
including the thought that no one's that everyone's thought
right.
of it. So, you know, what are you going to do? Novelty might be a huge sham.
Maybe you've made an incremental advancement, or maybe you've arranged the parts in a way that, oh, I didn't look at it like that before. Those are two possibilities.
But I really value going against trends or seeming novel by being an outlier or a novelist.
Oh yeah, you love
I like,
that. You
I
love
like
it.
Weirdos.
You love it. I mean, and I respect that about you.
Which is funny though, because I say it knowing fully hypocritically that like weirdo is an affectation, just like normal is an affectation. You know, I don't
yeah, but
know.
You gotta when you're weirdo, you gotta carry that more, and like it's mm-hmm. it's a much more permeating position to take. Because, like, look, normal means you have permission in a lot of areas to try new shit. And just be like, oh, over here, like,
right.
you know, over here, I'm just kind of into anime. You know, or whatever it is. Not mm-hmm. that anime is weird. I'm just giving you an example. Whereas, like, if you're like, no, I enjoy stuff that's the offbeat, alt-take stuff, that kind of, like, all areas of your life, you're kind of bound to that. You know, or at least
we're
in
like,
my experience, you are.
Yeah, I definitely, and I didn't realize that I was doing it until I'm like, my favorite artist is, or like musicians are like Frank Zappa, and they might be giants. My
Frank
favorite, but like everything's just like,
yeah,
that's what someone who wants to be viewed as weird would pick. I'm like, damn, I am a trope. Everyone's a trope.
Yeah, right.
Even if your trope is not being a trope, that is a trope.
So
what are you gonna do?
Just one or two very small last points, because I know that we don't want this to go too long, but. So one of them is, I think it's incredible for Activision, who's released a free-to-play game here, how like their cost-saving measures that are very mm-hmm. annoying. One of them is they kind of haven't given us a new map for Call of Duty Warzone in 2 years. Like it's kind of
right.
been the same map since whenever this came out, March 2020. Same damn
it's
map.
It's a big ass map with a lot to look at.
It's
but
a lot.
Still.
But like as a person who's put in, I don't know, 200 hours with different groups of friends.
Wow.
Well, yeah, dude, this is what my friends play. That's why I wanted to talk about it.
Because mm-hmm.
this is what they like. You
yeah.
know, and by friends, again, I mean people who this is the only game they probably have. You know, they don't
sure.
game. This is probably the only one they game, right? By the way, you remember that my house was robbed that one time, right? You remember that?
Yeah.
The only games mm-hmm. they took, Call of Duty.
Like they're aware of it as, oh, that's the game
there
people
was,
play. I'll
they,
grab
there
that
was
one.
There yeah. was a wall of games, like mm-hmm. there was probably 25 different games. They went through and systematically pulled out all
and they
the
were
Call
like,
of Duties.
Ooh, the new Call of Duty.
They took all
yeah.
the Call of Duties, every one of them, and the rest of the games they left. Wow. You know what I mean? That tells you something. So, like,
For sure.
I don't know. So, yeah, I think it's crazy that this game that's clearly making a lot of money, they basically have refused until this most recent iteration on, you know, their campaign to release a new map and just sort of assumed that the game base will survive that level of abandonment. And they're kind of right. Like, mm-hmm. that's pretty wild, you know? I mean, like, they've remastered the maps, and that's kind of all they've been willing to do.
Well, they're busy adding zombies to every single Call of Duty thing that's ever been
done. Yeah, but they have, like, its whole studio that does that. Like,
I know.
Like, Call of Duty's, like, you know, like, four game studios. It's, you know, it's a lot of people.
They're not hurting for people.
Right, and so I guess I'm pointing that out because, like, it's interesting that they wanted all that money that, you know, is coming from Fortnite and stuff. They want to be in that game, but they have absolutely no interest to innovate on it. They just want to have it out there to, like, to slap up that piece of money and then, like, sort of like, okay, now we have it. Let's do the bare minimum to keep them all happy, you know?
It is the bare minimum, but that one thing, making it team-based, does change a lot. Don't want to undervalue that.
I completely agree. It's way better than...
And I like the armor system. I like the gulag system. I know a lot of people who don't like it or think it's odd, but I kind of thought it was... Yeah, that's a fun way to kill time. After you die, it gives you a little extra. I'm not against it.
I did team deathmatch a bunch with, like, Dave and Abe and also, like, back mm-hmm. in time with another friend of mine named Derek. And that was just never... It was really just sort of all of us hanging out and having our own game experience. Like, going in teams in Warzone is very much like, no, we're in it together. We're having a conversation together. It's much more of a hangout. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, like, that part of it is kind of irreplaceable in gaming right now. There's not that many ways to have that experience. You know, like, or I guess there are, but, like, there's not that many ways that draw together a broad swath of gaming that I need to get my friends to play a game. This is, like, one of the only games.
Unless you want to play a Minecraft or Minecraft derivative game, which I hate.
You know, like, I get that people like that. I just don't like it.
I happen to not be a fan of those, so, like, Valheim, it's all just too much for me.
Yeah. I wish I liked those games because that would solve a lot of those problems for me. But, like, again, mm-hmm. Call of Duty, they solved my problem, and I appreciate that. You know?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
As I said, I like this game for a little while, then get bored of it as well. So I can't find a game to play with my friends. If anyone has a great recommendation based on listening to this podcast and getting to know my taste that they think I'd really genuinely enjoy, let me know.
But you would like...
Because I just tried Phasmophobia. Woof, what a stinker.
Oh, really? Oh, see, our buddies love that. Well, I
know. Every game that the whole group of cracked folk get into... I really want to get into so we can play together because I like talking to them and that's all I ever want to do. But I'm not going to play a boring game to do that.
That's why you and I need to work harder at, like, coming up with times where you and I can game together. Because, mm-hmm. you know, like, we're just letting Abe and Dave run us ragged with their preferences. And we can't have it.
It's true.
We just can't have it. Anyway, so we should pass our final checkpoint, right?
Let's do it.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Yeah, we're keeping this one tight because we figured it would more be an overview on the genre, and we don't want to, I don't know. There's something about, that's what I mean about it, right? It feels ephemeral. I don't want to.
It's.
I don't need 90 minutes to discuss Call of Duty Warzone.
I assumed this would be a little bit more of a launching pad for other discussions, and it was, which is what I wanted.
Good.
So Sway Meringue, do you want to keep this Warzone? Do you want to keep that?
Oh boy. no, Adam, and I'll tell you why. Not a big fan of this genre of game or franchise or the way they are like,
oh, really?
There's nothing transcendent about it. No, actually, I do like the way they handled it. As I say, the team thing is big to me, but on a finite,
on a granular level,
on a hard drive of finite space, I would not probably keep more than one battle royale game just to represent that. Yes, there was a period in human history where everyone was obsessed with giving their money to battle royale games. Here's a game of that type. Maybe, I mean, probably Apex appeals the most to me.
We'll have to cover
because I like the developers the most. But so I'd probably keep that. But I ain't keeping this one. No,
okay.
I would keep several things before I'd keep this one in the battle royale genre, and I'd only keep one battle royale because they ain't my cup of tea.
We'll have to cover, which is fine. We'll probably cover a few of those over the next, you know, year or two.
We'll have to cover several of them because time continues to move forward and we cover more and more games.
It does. I also am not going to keep Warzone, although I kind of still have hopes for it as in the long term. Like, I think it might be around for like 10 years. And it could be interesting in 10 years. Like, that's possible. But I think actually one of the most compelling arguments that we didn't even make in this episode is that, like, if hard drive space matters, Call of Duty in general has really shortchanged our ability to like save it, because it's like, oh, I got to have a 500 gigabyte hard drive space for this. Come on, it's insane. It's around 100 or 200 gigs to get a Call of Duty campaign and multiplayer and Warzone. It's a lot of hard drive space.
And by the way, we have been talking about in the new year switching up. Like, we may put some new constraints on the keeper delete section.
Yeah, we are talking about that.
You know, watch this space for stuff like that. I think we may establish either a hard drive size by gigabyte.
Maybe. Yeah.
Or it might just be it can hold 200 games, and when you reach that, you have to kill other stuff to keep. We're gonna codify it. I think that's our New Year's resolution.
Yeah, we should
look out for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're also gonna decide.
I think that would be fun.
I think we're also gonna decide: are games only kept if both of us keep them, or are we each individually compiling a hard drive? Like, those are things we're gonna clarify as we should.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll sort it out over the holidays.
Anyway, hey, but seriously, if I invite you to play this game, you're still gonna drop on once in a while and play it, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's retelling.
Well, I feel like there's a whole part of the experience I've never experienced, which is, what would it feel like to win a round?
I want
to feel that. I know it's unlikely, but I want to play long enough to feel that, even if we just win by chance, because I've never felt that in Fall Guys or any battle royale type thing. And I know that that's part of the appeal. What does it feel like when you win the virtual Super Bowl? I want to feel that so that I can analyze the feeling.
Was it worth it?
Was that worth it? Yeah.
I mean,
because
the last 2 minutes of these games every time are like very tense.
Your heart's probably pounding. Yeah. You feel like a lot of endorphins in your bloodstream, I imagine.
Very tense. Like, up until that point, it's pretty like, I died.
And when you do pull it out, I'm sure you're... I can imagine, but I want to feel it. Yeah.
All right.
So yeah, we'll play till we win. God damn it.
That's one.
Then I'll never play.
That's
again.
A guarantee for our listeners. Hey, Mike, always a pleasure talking to you, buddy.
What if we did a streaming stunt where we stream Call of Duty Warzone and we don't stop till we win around?
That's how people die. That's literally how you or I might die. That might be the end.
Because that could be like 45 hours.
A year and a half. Like, you know, just never stop.
Jesus.
Yeah, it could take forever.
All right. Well, we'll do that.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back to talk about more video games.
We sure will.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
All right. Bye-bye, buddy.
Work complete.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.